Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. You get to some of these passages. I'm really grateful for just teaching through the Word. Nobody can accuse me of picking on someone. But today, you'll know why when we get into the message today. So today we're going to talk to wives. And husbands, your turn's coming next week. But we read, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we have your word to turn to. Lord, you can define what life is, what's success in life, how to do life, Lord, all of these things. And you give us your wisdom, you give us your words, you give us your power by your Holy Spirit to now surrender to the things that you have told us. And so we thank you for this passage of Scripture, Lord. We pray that you would minister to us. Lord, do the work that only you can do by your Holy Spirit in the lives of wives here, Lord. And while this is to wives today, Lord, we pray that husbands would be thinking of, Lord, how we are to do our part as well. This is not a one-sided thing, Lord, but minister to us today, Lord. Have your way in our hearts and minds, and we surrender ourselves to the work of your Spirit for these purposes, and we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, what a blessed thing it is today. I was going to this week spend the time going through both the role of the husband and the role of the wife together, but I just, you know, with the way the world is completely at war with Christianity in terms of what it is to be a husband and a wife today and what marriage looks like, I thought it would be better to take a week each and spend time on each of these things. And even though before we get into this, I think it's important just for foundational purposes to ask ourselves, why do we even have marriage? I mean, who gave us this idea for marriage anyway? Where did it even come from? And with that, then, why was the institution of marriage even given to our society? And for that purpose, I do actually want you to turn with me, please, in the beginning here to Genesis chapter 2. Please turn to the front of your Bibles, because I want to read you a quick verse where we see where marriage even came from. And I just think it's important, again, for foundational reasons into what we're going to cover this morning. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, and we read this. This is on the whole idea of where did marriage come from. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her." I love that. The Lord did it. God brought her to the man. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So I love that. I love that passage. Right from the very beginning, God told us, he's the designer, he's the originator, he's the creator of this entire institution of marriage. It's his idea. That's why we do it. It wasn't just man coming up with some great idea in what he wanted. And I also love that, if you will recall in Genesis chapter 1, in the 6 days of creation, there's a phrase God repeats six different times in those first 6 days of creation. That phrase is, "and God saw that it was good." And I find it very interesting that God said that over and over and over. And even on the sixth day after he got all done with all of his creation, it says that God saw everything he had made. Indeed, it was very good. And isn't it ironic that all of that, what God did, because God's perfect, everything he does is good, he would actually say one thing's not good. And the only thing he mentioned is, it's not good that man should be alone. Now, you've been married any length of time, you know it's probably not good that your husband be alone. I mean, we need help. We really do. And so the Lord knows we needed this help. But the Lord's communicating some great things. But the first thing I just want us to see is that clearly this is God's idea, this whole thing of marriage. And of course, for men, it is clear that there are some men that are gifted with the gift of celibacy. God has given them the ability to focus their entire lives on the gospel message and these things and do that. And they're not to be married. But that is most certainly not the norm. Of course, the predominant thing in this world is that man is intended to be married. But for man who is married, he's blessed. Proverbs 18:22 tells us, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And so we praise the Lord for our wives and for what they do for us. But this is God's idea. He wants to show us the blessing of marriage. And then, secondly, since God instituted it, why did he even give us this institution of marriage? And for that, we just look right back at the passage we began with today, Ephesians chapter 5. And this is a very, very important point that we need to see in marriage. I want you to notice in verse 32, after explaining the role of the wife, the role of the husband, God now says there's a greater picture being communicated in this physical relationship of husband and wife. And he tells us here, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And it's very interesting to me because it teaches me a few things about how I even look at marriage, myself, of course, being a husband, but for a woman, being a woman in a marriage. But when God is speaking about the role of the husband, the role of the wife, he's also speaking in the spiritual vein of Christ and the church. Jesus is the bridegroom. He has clearly portrayed that, called that in many places in Scripture. He's the bridegroom. And the church, anyone who responds to Jesus as Lord and Savior, they become the bride of Christ. And it's beautiful because now, as a man, certainly I have the blessing of reading what Jesus did, how he treated his disciples. I study him. I see that's how I am to love my wife. And it's nice. I mean, it opens up so much of Scripture to me to look at, I mean, basically marital counseling for myself. Just read the Scriptures. How does Jesus treat his bride? It's beautiful. Throughout Scripture, God wanted that picture that Jesus is, he's the bridegroom loving on his bride. He went to all the trouble to do what he did to provide, to have a relationship with her. And she is just simply to respond to him. We as men and women, we are the bride of Christ spiritually. We all understand what it means to submit to him. And so in that picture, we are getting to give a visual picture to the world of this relationship God desires to have for us. God intends for anybody to look at a healthy marriage and look at the husband and say, wow, how is it he loves her so much? And a husband will be able to say, that's because Jesus lives in and through me. I'm loving my wife the way Jesus loves the church. Do you want to know Jesus? I mean, you can just preach the gospel right out of our marriages. The wife would say, somebody might say, how could you submit to your husband? Especially if maybe your marriage is not that great and you've, well, I do it as unto the Lord because I am submitting to him because I love my Lord. He's worthy of being submitted to. He's called me to submit to my husband. And you get to preach the gospel right out of your marriage too as wives. It's a beautiful thing what the Lord has for us. So I want to encourage us, even before we get into this, that when you are playing your role as a husband and wife, and by the way, you've been wired to play these roles. It's not like this is an odd thing. God made men to lead and to be the head over their household and to love their wives, and he has wired women to submit to their husbands. But in all of this, God wants to communicate to the world the blessing of marriage. And so God has given us this wonderful picture here for us. And so it's a beautiful thing. God has done this. And so today, he, being the originator and the creator of us, he wants to tell us what the roles are for a husband and for a wife. Now, in going into this today, we're going to cover again just the role of the wife. So I thought it'd be good to lay some ground rules today for mainly just for you husbands, I guess. And so no elbowing your wives today. You know who you elbowers are. Hey, did you catch that one? You need a little work in that. You don't get to do that today because there'll be plenty coming back at you next week. So no leg kicking, no intentional clearing of the throat. Did you get that one? Whatever the way you clear, you know how you communicate, husband and wife. We have these weird ways we communicate, but anyway. And then, there's this one's really, men, no enjoying the teaching this week and then getting mysteriously sick next week and not coming for your medicine next week. So if you miss next week, want to come the next week, you need to bring a doctor's note or something to come back. No, anyway, praise the Lord. You know, you'll get your freight train next week. It'll come at you. But praise the Lord. I mean, the Lord, if we do what he calls us to do, I hope you've realized in your Christian walk, when we obey the Lord, we will be so blessed. I mean, your marriage will be so blessed. You'll be blessed. And God, he just wants to do great things in our marriages. When both husband and wife are playing their role, it is the sweetest thing. I mean, there is no sweeter relationship, physical relationship. Of course, the greatest relationship in the world is our relationship with Jesus. But in the physical realm, what a blessing to be in a good marriage. Simple outline for today, three verses we're going to study. We're going to look at some other verses, but three things. Verse 22 is the what of what wives are to do. The what. Verse 23, the why. Why are to wives submit to their husbands? And verse 24, the third thing, the how. Pretty simple. And God intended it to be simple. It really is. Supposed to be that simple. And Lord knows, I mean, it's an indictment of us. God had to make it really simple so we'd get it and wouldn't get all confused. But notice what he says here to wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, God is very, very serious about wives submitting to their husbands. And I'm going to talk about some different ways we look at this and, again, how the world's at war with this. But God's very serious about it. He's so serious. I want to read you the other passages so you see the seriousness of the Lord in the New Testament where he talks directly at women and men, but today we're looking at women, at wives and their role as wives in a marriage. So here we see wives submit to your own husbands. We don't even get past the first three verses. He even uses the word again in verse 24. It's not translated that way in the New King James. It says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, that's the same word for submit. But the first thing he says is, wives, submit to your own husbands. In Colossians chapter 3 is a summarized version, I think, of this passage in Ephesians. The Lord has one verse for wives there. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Exact same single command. Submit to your husbands. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, that's the longest passage directly dealing with wives in the New Testament. He says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. And by the end of those verses, he gets into verse 5 and says, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women, I like how I hope that's encouragement to you, women who are doing this, he calls them the holy women. It's wonderful. And we all are holy. You're all holy women if you're saved, because God has declared you holy. But it's an encouragement, I think. Holy women who trusted in God also adorn themselves being submissive to their own husbands. So it's an amazing thing. God lays this out, and he keeps laying it out. And in all of those passages, the same single command. Now, to me, that's encouraging, I would think. I mean, because to the husbands, he gives one command to husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And we'll hit that next week. But you don't have to remember 20 or 30 things. I mean, at the end of the day, when your husband comes home and you're just haggard, and I've seen it in my life when the kids are small and you've just had it, and they've run you ragged, and you're tired, this is the only thing you really need to worry about. I mean, we can put too many expectations on ourselves, but you don't have to worry about all of these other things. Just this one thing, submit to your husbands. And the Lord just drives this point home, drives it home. Even in quick little additional encouragement in this area that this is what the Lord wants. In the book of Titus, Paul wrote a letter to the young pastor Titus in the church in Crete, and he gave him directions for the older women to instruct the younger women. And here's what he told them. He's speaking to them. He said, speak to the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. And that word obedient there is the same word as the word submit here. I'm just over and over and over, God is driving this point home. So there it is. And it's just good for us to ask ourselves today, do I believe God is smarter than I am? I mean, does he know better than I what my role is in my marriage? Do I really trust him? Or do I think I can make up my own rules and do whatever I want to? You can. I mean, anybody who's tried that any length of time in their lives know the train wreck that is the potential that comes from living our lives the way we have wanted to live them. But here we see God has called us to do this one thing. He's repeated it over and over and over. So it is obviously extremely important to the Lord. Now let's define this word. Now that we see here that the one thing a wife is to do is submit to her own husband. The word submit means to place in order to place in an orderly fashion, or to subordinate, or to make subject to. It really in its connotation has kind of this sense of rank or order or authority. One Bible scholar has put it this way. I like this description. It's a detailed one, but it says the word submitting here literally means to be under in rank. It's a military word, and it speaks of the way that an army is organized among levels of rank. You have generals and colonels and majors and captains and sergeants and privates. There are levels of rank, and you are obligated to respect those in higher rank. We know that as a person, a private can be smarter, more talented, and a better person than a general, but he is still under rank to the general. He isn't submitted to the general so much as a person as he is to the general as a general. And he goes on to say, later. To submit means that you recognize someone has legitimate authority over you. It means that you recognize that there is an order of authority and that you are part of a unit, a team. You as an individual are not more important than the working of the unit or the team. So God has established order, rank within a family. Again, I want to repeat what he said. It doesn't mean your husband's smarter. You may know that. Maybe no doubt in your mind. You think you're smarter than your husband? You may be. You may be better organized. Sometimes if you're a type A personality, it might drive you crazy. Your husband's not. And you want to get things in going and keep things in order and all of those things. But it doesn't mean you're not any of those things. But at the end of the day, you look at the basic building block of society, it is the family unit, and there must be order. You can't have two chiefs running things. It can be a frustrating experience, ends up in chaos. We need to know at the end of the day who's going to make the final decision. God has decided this is the order of the family unit. He wants a wife to submit to her husband. And so there we go. That's what the Lord said. Again, it doesn't mean that you're not more intelligent. You may be a better teacher. You may be all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, the husband's the leader of the family. Now, we know, it's crystal clear to me, that the world is just at war with this idea, this concept that a woman would actually submit to her husband. I mean, oh my goodness. Wow. Crazy. And I want to help dispel a lot of that, because we just simply look at Scripture at all of the places we're called, all as Christians, men and women, to submit. We wouldn't see this as some odd thing. And I want to give to you several places in Scripture where we are called to submit to the authorities around us. I mean, we may not think about it, but we're submitted all over the place. Let me give you some examples. Number one, we're all to submit to the authority of our parents. Now, if you're grown up and out of the home, that's a completely different relationship, especially if you're married. You are to leave and cleave. You become more of a friendship, more of maybe a discipleship relationship, but it's not that authority relationship of parents anymore. But in the Old Testament, in Exodus, is an example we saw there. It said, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Then in Ephesians 6, we'll see in a couple of weeks, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The first area the Lord wanted to teach us submission to authority in our lives is in the family unit, your parents. And it's interesting, because if you don't learn that there, you're going to learn it eventually somewhere. I mean, if you keep going and keep defying authority, eventually you're going to be submitted to the authority of the prison guard or whoever it is. Somebody's going to make you submit to authority at some point in your life. It's going to happen. And ultimately, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will ultimately submit to God, but we first learn it in the home. And what I'm really encouraged by, and almost astonished, because we look at some wife might think, I have to submit to my husband. Well, guess what? Jesus submitted to his human, fallen, sinful parents. The perfect God-man submitted to human parents. In Luke chapter 2, we read, then he went down with them and he came to Nazareth and he was subject to them. And that word subject is the same word for submit here in Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus submitted himself to human parents and he was the completely the perfect God-man. And I love that. No great leader would ask somebody to do something, in my opinion, without themselves be willing to do it themselves. And Jesus most certainly is that example. But first thing, we're to submit to our parents. Secondly, we're to submit to the authority of the government around us that we are under. Romans 13 tells us, let every soul be subject, that's the same word as submit here, to the governing authorities. Or 1 Peter 2, therefore submit yourselves, same word, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And so we see we are all to submit to the authority of the governing authorities around us. And sometimes we can just be railing at this. It can be a struggle. I mean, today we look at some of our political leaders. I mean, there's some, I can't find a single thing that they believe in that is consistent in their moral values to the Word of God. That can be hard to submit to the governing authorities in those cases. But I would encourage you in those times, we need to go to prayer for them. That's one way to submit to the Lord and to them, by praying for them. Of course, in 1 Timothy 2, we're told, therefore exert, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. You can live a peaceable life even in the midst of a wicked whatever that's over you politically, because God is ultimately the one in control. And you pray to him, you realize he's still on the throne. Praise God. I can submit because I would do it out of obedience to the Lord. Thirdly, we're to submit to the authority of our employers. In Titus 2, we read, "Exhort bondservants to be obedient," same word for submission here, "to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." In the modern-day equivalent of bondservants, that is the employer-employee relationship. We can read it this way in 1 Peter 2, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear." And this is interesting, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. I mean, even to a hard employer, I'm supposed to submit to him? Yes, we are. That's what God has called us to. Because we can show them what a submitted life looks like. And we can be a great example of our Lord to them. Fourthly, we're to submit to the authority of the spiritual leaders in the body of Christ. In 1 Peter 5, we read, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." So God has placed spiritual leaders over us, and we are to submit to them and to their leadership. Fifthly, we're to submit to each other in the fear of God. In the fear of God. And we see right in this very passage we're in, please look back at Ephesians 5. Look up one verse before where we began reading today. There he said, we are to be submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And it is the same word there. And it's very interesting that in the body of Christ, we're to submit to one another. And it's interesting because, you know, when you have people that are at the same level, and most of us, I mean, we are who we are. We're equal effectively as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And sometimes somebody might come and tell you to do something. And, you know, sometimes you feel like the little kid. And if any of you have raised kids, you've probably heard one, if not 100 times, one of your children tell the other children, "You're not the boss of me." Ever heard that? I heard that many times growing up from my children. But when you got two people that are equal, it's hard for them to submit to one another. But let's face it, whether you're in a family or whether you're in a ministry or you're in an army, there are times when even somebody of your equal rank, so to speak, a leader would tell them to do something and you're a part of that, you need to submit to their leadership. Well, you can be involved in the ministry and could be somebody of either sex over you in that particular ministry, depending on the circumstances. You're to submit to that leadership. We're to submit to one another in the fear of God. I love that it says in the fear of God, because we don't get to go run rampant and be, you know, grand poobah and I'm controller of everything and you have to submit to my authority. We don't get to do that. We're to minister to people in love, but we are to submit to one another here in the fear of God. And it's a beautiful thing. And never again does it mean to be misconstrued that somebody's better, smarter, whatever, but there are these times we submit to one another in the Lord. Also, there is a bit of submission that does happen legitimately in the body of Christ. If somebody's in sin and we need to confront them in an area of sin, we're really asking them to submit to the Lord and then and in some ways submit to us and asking for forgiveness. But that will happen. It's one of the few times where the Lord says, you know, you need to go to them and deal with them. And sometimes if there's not proper repentance, there even needs to come to a point of discipline within the body of Christ. And there's a call to submission to the leadership in that. But very interesting here, we're to submit to one another in love. Let me look at the final submission outside of this passage today. We're all to submit to the authority of God. All of us, we're to submit to the authority of God. Let me read to you out of the book of Hebrews, just one quick little verse as an example. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. We read, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection," that's the word, "to the Father of spirits and live?" And so we see, the reason I went through all of that is for this purpose. You'd think as Christians, we'd have no struggle with a wife thinking they need to submit to their husband. We're submitting to people all over the place, all the time as Christians. This is a regular part of life. I mean, just going down the list, we are to submit to our parents in their home. We are to submit to the authority of the government around us. We are to submit to the authority of our employers. We're to submit to the authority of our spiritual leaders. We submit to each other as Christians. And of course, we submit to the authority of God Himself. This shouldn't be a problem. But the reason I think the world is coming after these particular issues is because the last one, the authority of God, is that when somebody surrenders to God, that's when they get saved. And Satan and the world are just rabidly against that happening. And then they're rabidly against a woman submitting to her husband because it is a picture of that relationship happening. And so the world does not want that to happen. That's why, in my opinion, the world is so going after this issue. That's also why the world is so bent on redefining marriage. Who can get married? Not just one man, one woman in a committed relationship. Because it is a picture of this great mystery, verse 32 in Ephesians 5. And the world wants to tell you, no, it's not like that. But we're blessed that we get to have all of these things. So anyway, I say all of that to say, for a woman to have one more place where she submits to somebody, my opinion shouldn't be a big deal. Now, I'm a man, so you can deal with me. But very amazing here. Women, you know, you are blessed that you get to submit to your husbands and show this wonderful truth to the world around us. Now, before we get out of verse 22 and this one thing wives are to do, notice the two kind of limiters, if you want to call it, or definers of this submission to their husbands. Notice it says to your own husband, your own. You don't need to go submit to every man who comes along and thinks, I'm a man, you're a woman, so you need to submit to me. It doesn't work that way. I mean, those are the general in the body of Christ submitting to one another. But there is particular submission within the family unit. That's a unique experience. Financial decisions, school decisions, where will we put our kids? Where will I go to work? What car will we buy? What home will we buy? Where will we move? There's all kinds of decisions going on. A woman is to submit to her own husband. It's interesting, all the passages I read, this, Colossians 3, 1 Peter 3, in every one of those three passages, the Lord used these words, own husband. He's not talking about everybody. You just need to submit to your own husband and to his leadership. So I hope that's encouraging. You don't get to get told what to do by everybody. It's just to your own husband. Also, the second qualifier here is that you're to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And I love that because that's a motive. You do it because the Lord's asked you to do it. And there are times you won't want to do something, but simply out of obedience to the Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. And that is just something we're all to do. Anything the Lord asks of us, we are to do. I also see it as meaning a second thing, and that is that since it's as to the Lord, I'll only do what my husband asks me to do that is in keeping with his word. So wives, if your husband asks you to do something that's contrary to his word, you're to say no. I obey God before I obey you. He's called me to submit to you, but I can't submit to you in that because that would be inappropriate. I mean, you know, you could fill in the blank with what that could be, but if your husband asks you to do something that is clearly offensive to the Lord, you know, you need to be able to look at the Bible and say, there, the Lord says that's wrong. I'm not doing that. In fact, I think the Lord would command you to do that. We are to say no. And that goes for any one of the areas of submission I talked about to authority. I mean, I think of back in the book of Acts, When Peter was preaching in the Sanhedrin, they threw him in jail. They brought him before the Sanhedrin, and they commanded him not to teach in the name of Jesus. And I love what Paul did, because he respected authority. Peter got that it was important to respect authority. But Peter turned to them and said, it says, Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. He recognized, no, God trumps everybody. You tell me to do something contrary to God, I will do what God says. I'm not going to obey you, regardless of the consequences. And so, wives, be encouraged that you have that freedom to say no. That doesn't mean you get to determine and begin to twist Scripture and do all kinds of crazy things. I just don't want to obey my husband, so I'll come up with a reason to say this is not in keeping with God's Word. And I've seen that. We don't get to do that. But we need to submit to you need to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So that's the what, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then, secondly, we see the why. Notice, please, verse 23. Notice the word for is the first word there. It's a reason word. For, or because the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So again, God has given a structure, kind of a chain of command, if you want to call it that, within the body, within the family unit. It's within the body of Christ and within the family unit. I think it's most clearly stated in 1 Corinthians 11:3, where he says, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. So really, it goes God the Father to Jesus. Jesus always submitted to the Father. But this verse tells us the head of every man is Christ. Every man is to submit to Jesus. And then the wife is to submit to her husband, because the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So that's the order. And a husband has to answer to the Lord for the leading that he does in his family. And so he's responsible for his family and the leading. But a wife is to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. And so this chain of command has been established by the Lord. Again, you're communicating tremendous spiritual truths to the world around you. And then I also want you to see, and really kind of in the same vein, again, back to verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. So here again, we see the why, because you're communicating this greater spiritual truth to the world around you. And so if you have any unbelievers around you and they look at your marriage and they ask about it, hopefully they would at some point, you'd say, well, I am submitting to him as unto the Lord, because the Lord has called me to submit to him and to be a picture of anyone who would submit to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you too can have that relationship. Beautiful thing. And so wives, be encouraged when you obey your husband. It is pleasing to the Lord, and it's a great word picture to those around you. That's the why, verse 23. Then verse 24, he tells us the how. Notice verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, that's the how, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So as you look at the Bible, you read all of what the Lord has commanded his church to do, how we are to submit to him, obey him. That's what he's called all of us as Christians to do. And so just as you know you submit to him as a Christian, that is the same thing you are to do in your marriage relationship. And so it's the same thing, just as we want it, he wants to be that way. And again, remember, this word subject in verse 24, it's the same word as the word submit in verse 22. And so that's how wives are to submit to their husbands. And so it's a beautiful thing. Remember, none of this, again, I'll say it, sometimes I say it too many times, but again, doesn't mean that you're not smarter, more of a type A, more of a whatever, but just as you would submit to the Lord, you are to submit to your husbands. And notice there it says, in everything. You don't get to pick and choose. You don't get to say, well, I kind of want to obey him in this and submit to him in that, and I don't over here. No, in everything. With the limiter of verse 22, that if it tells you something to do, the Lord would not have you do, you are to disobey. But in everything, we think about how we surrender to the Lord. Now, with that, I mean, that's it. That's what the Lord has to say. It's really that simple. God didn't overcomplicate it. He wanted it to be simple, so we'd get it. But I do want to look at a couple of final thoughts. Number one, what is the cost in a marriage when a wife doesn't submit to her husband? And for that, I want you to look down at the very end of this passage, verse 33. Notice there it says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself. But here it is, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. When a wife does not submit to her husband, he views it as not being respected. And sometimes it's amazing to me when you look at marriages. Men and women are so different. I hope you've gotten that. If you've married any length of time, God has wired you so wildly different. The world is also trying to tell us we're the same. But if you've ever raised a boy and a girl, too, you know how wildly different boys are from girls. They're just very, very different. But God wired men to need respect. That's just the way it is. Because that's the way God is. He wants respect from his children. He has done everything Jesus has to be the bridegroom, and he wants us to respect him and submit to him. And when a wife does not submit to him, he reads it as a lack of respect. And that's hard for a man to take. It just is. Next week we flip everything around, but that's the way it is for a man. And I want to give some very practical examples, kind of put some flesh to the bones for what this may look like. And I'm just going to throw out several ways a wife may not show submission to her husband. And sometimes you may find it a little humorous, but here we go. Number one, where a wife might not show submission to her husband, you may act like his mommy. So I don't know any of you who might do that, but your husband married you for a partner. Now, I'll admit, there's some guys that I think they like parts of their wife being a mommy and doing their clothes and doing various things for them, but he married you for a partner. And let me read to you from an article I read. Here we read, I just think this guy put this well in ways that wives can act like mommies to their husbands. You want to help him, but in the process you treat him like a child. You remind him to brush his teeth and put on deodorant, and you set his clothes out for him before bed. You wipe a smudge of food off his face with a napkin that you spit on. You ever done that? Think, oh man, when I was a kid, my mom would do that. She'd lick that nap. That's just disgusting to me. I hated that as a child. I'd sure hate if my wife did it to me. My goodness. But he married you for a partner, not to mommy him. And he wants that. One of the greatest ways you can undermine his authority is to undermine his decision making. And especially, I'll look at that next, is to undermine his decision making in front of others. But when a husband makes a decision, you need to be praying for your husbands, especially when you disagree. And let's face it, we can have disagreements in our marriages, real, very real reasons why we don't agree on a certain particular direction in a place to go. I can think of twice in my wife and I have been married. In fact, just about a week ago, we had our 26th anniversary, and we've had probably two times we've ever disagreed on a subject. And praise the Lord, the two times they were major, I mean, completely walking with the Lord. And And that's where I realized, man, the weight of being a husband is a serious weight, because at the end of the day, I'm going to be held responsible for the decision I make. But in the cases, we just couldn't see eye to eye on the issue. It wasn't a big deal, but there it was. They both had to do with our children. And I said, honey, I hear what you're saying. I respect what you said, but the Lord's clear with me. We need to move this direction. And she completely supported me. And that's submission. She saw that, you know, okay, I'll pray for you, and I see, I don't agree, but, and it wasn't this, I'm still going to disagree and set yourself up for I told you so. She didn't do any of that. She just said, I will submit to that decision, and pray for me. And so we move along, and we go along our day, but undermining decisions is an incredibly dangerous thing. You are clearly telling him, I'm not surrendering to you. I'm not. And that's a dangerous thing. That does not look anything like the church submitting to Christ. And since that's the role God's called you to play, it's a dangerous thing. And then the world around you, now, what does your testimony become when others hear about that? You begin to share with them what it means to submit to the Lord. You say, I'm not even willing to submit to my husband. It's not a good thing. Let me give an example. Quote from the same man, the prior quote. You tell your husband you want him to lead, but every time he tries, you end up questioning him or going against him. He sets his foot down, but you find sneaky ways to get around it. He doesn't want a certain TV show on in his house, but you argue about how it's not so bad, and you watch it anyway. So that might be one way. There could be all kinds of other ways that we might do it. Oftentimes, it's the other way around. We'll talk about the husbands next week, where sometimes the woman's having to try to push her husband to be more holy. That should never happen either. But nonetheless, when the husband is leading, he needs to be allowed to lead. And his authority should never, ever be undermined. If you do it in front of somebody else, that can be completely demoralizing. For you to question your husband in front of others or in front of the children. And the fact that goes both ways. Never should a husband question his wife in front of the children or have an argument in front of the children, in my opinion. But anyway, here, we should not do that. The husband is the leader of the family. His authority should be established in the family. He is really a picture to the children of the Lord, and the children should respect the dad. They just need to. We see the world at war at this. I mean, it seems like every sitcom there is on TV makes the dad to be a total buffoon. I mean, I think that's what they're completely aiming at. They want him to look like a complete idiot. And the wife's always behind the scenes, and she's the brains, and she's kind of somehow navigating, making things work out. I mean, I think that is the world at war with what God has established. But that would be to undermine his authority. Another way that you might not is to nag at him. I don't know how long you've been married or if you're a good nagger. Maybe you're a professional at it. But I hope you've realized by now it doesn't work. You're not going to change him that way. The greatest way to change your husband is to pray for him. Pray for him. The Lord will do a way better job changing your husband than you ever will. I've never seen a human really have the ability to change another person. But God can do it in a moment's notice. Pray for him. Don't nag at him. Nagging takes many forms. Just challenging him or just the little dog that keeps nipping, you know, just won't let go of an issue and just keeps nagging. We're not to do that. So, wives, please don't do that. So, you don't consult him on a decision, particularly major decisions in the family unit. Your husband's responsible for your family. The decisions you make, the financial commitments you make, and you need to consult him. He should consult you as well, but you need to consult him. Don't go out making these decisions. Another one, you don't support his profession or his hard work. One of the saddest things I've seen years ago, we had some good friends, and we lived a couple hours from here and loved this couple. I believe they completely both knew the Lord, walking with the Lord, going to church regularly, reading their Bibles. But unfortunately, the wife got a little haywire at some point. She determined that she really wanted to marry a man who was an executive, kind of a white-collar worker. Her husband had a kind of in-the-trenches type of a blue-collar job, and that's just the way it was. And she just determined that just wasn't acceptable, wasn't good enough. And she left him ultimately and went to marry a man who was what she was dreaming of. And I just think how foolish of that man to accept her. Because if she left him, she'll find another reason to leave this new guy. But the sad thing is when you think about that, sometimes we forget. How many months or years went by that husband knew his wife did not respect what he did? And the sad thing to me is this man was an incredibly hard worker. I mean, he had many things to be commended, to be respected, and she just didn't respect him. So I don't know what kind of personal price he paid watching his wife not respect him. and not encourage him and support him. Honey, I'm behind you 100%. And she tried to basically make him someone he was not. And the sad thing is, he wasn't a different guy after they got married. She married the guy knowing who he was. And so, very sad. All right, another way, just a couple more, you might complain behind his back. If some word ever gets back, if you complained behind your husband's back, that can be quite demoralizing. You know, when a guy comes home, I know the old phrase about a guy coming home, you know, his house is his castle. But there's really something very true about that. In all the years I worked, and one of the reasons I think the Lord, I just know the Lord blessed me in my professional career, but one of the reasons I think I was successful was because I had the complete 100% of support of my wife. I knew when I was gone, she was supporting me, praying for me. When I came home, she was encouraging me, always there. When I had a hard day, I knew she was there for me. I just knew it, always. Didn't have to wonder. And so it was just very freeing. And so when I was home, I could be myself. There's no facade, there's no putting on anything. I could completely relax. And for a husband to be in a home where he's not respected, he'll never get a sense of rest. And just, I can rejuvenate. I can be empowered to go do what I've got in front of me to go do today. Very important that a husband feels that comfort to know I can put my guard down in front of my wife and even share my weaknesses, and she'll be there for me. She'll encourage me. She'll be praying for me. And so we need to know she's got our back. She's encouraging us and ministering to us. And another one, just got two more. It's very, very important that we never, ever say, I will submit to you when, and you fill in the blank. There's no conditional here. I want you to notice that in these three verses we read, nowhere in there did the Lord say, wives, submit to your own husbands, as long as he's doing his part. I mean, you can fill in, it's going to say, husband, love your wives. You know, husbands are dense enough, he tells the men three times in verses 25 to 33, love your wives three times. I mean, you know, he knows what he's dealing with. He's got to tell us three times, so we'll get it right. Not only does he only tell us one thing, he tells us to us three times in that short of a period of time. But nobody gets to condition their obedience to the Lord based on their spouse doing their part. A husband doesn't get to say, I'll love you when you submit to me. A wife doesn't get to say, I will submit to you when you love me. We never get to do that. Never. And let me give you a bit of encouragement, ladies. In 1 Peter chapter 3, I read it earlier, but I want to read this verse again. And I find it very interesting. I think the Lord gave an extra bit of encouragement to wives, especially to the type that may have a tendency towards nagging or these things. But in 1 Peter 3, 1, it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And then he says, that even if some do not obey the word, they may, without a word, be won by the conduct of their wives. Do you know that just without saying anything, you can win your husbands over? When you are quiet and just submissive to the Lord, I believe with what the Lord said there, he actively gets involved by his Holy Spirit when a wife submits to her husband, even when she doesn't want to, and the Lord wants you to even more. But when you do that, the Holy Spirit gets to speak to him and go, did you see what she just did? She submitted to you. And the Lord ministers to that man and begins to really convict him. It's a very, very powerful thing and a very needed thing. Lastly, and I bring this one up because I just think it's needed. I've seen it in counseling over the years, in the whole sexual arena. I mean, it's not 100%, but we know that men have a stronger sex drive than women do. That's just the way it is. We can be adults and say that, right? I mean, in that arena, I've seen some people use it as a weapon, especially wives, to withhold that from a husband in that. And that would go for, I think almost goes for any of this. I mean, any of the things we've talked about. But to withhold something from a husband, or for a husband to withhold something from wife, never, ever to be done. Now, I'm going to read you out of 1 Corinthians 7, because at one time I was counseling with a couple, and it was interesting. And we were in this passage, 1 Corinthians 7, beginning in verse 5. And it talks about the role of the husband and wife in some ways, but in verse 4, it says, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Real interesting. The Lord actually makes an exception there. It says, hey, you two can deprive one another in that arena and withhold for a time of fasting and prayer, but it has to be with consent. interesting, I'm meeting with this couple, we're talking about these things, and she says, well, there you go, look at that passage. I can deprive my husband for some length of time. Well, I'm sorry, it says with consent in that verse. Your husband has to agree with this deprivation here for a length of time. And if he never agreed to that, you're to submit to the Lord. He just gave an allowance for that. And there should be a time at times when we could, major decisions in life, pull back from a lot of physical things and just seek the Lord spiritually and want to know His will. A bright husband, a husband that's full of wisdom from the Lord, he will do these things. But never ever is that to be a weapon or a tool in marriage, and that can be one of the ultimate slams to a husband for her to deprive that of her husband. And so we look at all of these areas of submission. The Lord says, notice what He said here, just very simply. Let's look at the verse again. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Why? For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. So our role as husbands and wives, wife, you get to bless your husband if you submit to him. And when you do that, it is a sweet aroma to the Lord. And lastly, I just want to encourage you, because it's interesting to me that the Lord gave this command for wives and husbands just a couple verses after He told us in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit to do these things, because we live with fallen people. For you to submit to your husband, I mean, at some level I feel sorry for women, because as being the bride of Christ spiritually, we get to submit to the perfect bridegroom. Jesus is perfect. I'm never going to go wrong submitting to Him. But you wives, well, you got us to deal with. And that can be rough. It can be. You need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit sometimes to do it. But He still called you to do it. You still got to do it. But it's a blessed thing. And then you're communicating again these spiritual truths to the world around you. The other thing I never want to forget is God gave this beautifully long passage on marriage in the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters of the book of Ephesians were all about the incredible blessings God has given us. And so the last three chapters are all about the appropriate response to what God has done for us. There is no way ever in your marriage as a wife you can submit to your husband and outdo what God's done for you. You can't even come close to the blessings He has already provided for you. So we need that perspective to be reminded, wow, what God has done for me, that's a motive for me to submit to my husband. And we'll bring that up again next week for a motivation for men to love their wives as Christ loved the church. So beautiful thing. Wives, there it is. That's what He's called you to do. I hope you'll be excited to come back next week and we'll talk about the husbands. But very needed things. The world is at war with this whole concept. It just is. But let's just surrender to God and see the blessings in our marriages and the blessings of being able to communicate these truths with the world around us. Praise God He's given us these truths and He's not afraid. I love that God never apologized for these roles He's called us to play. He doesn't do that because He knows what's best. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for Your love for us, that You love us. You've given us Your truths. You know what You've wired us to do as a husband and a wife. We know that You've called a husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church. You've called a wife to submit to her husband as to the Lord. May You encourage them. May You fill them with Your Holy Spirit. May they never forget or lose sight of the fact that when they do it, it's pleasing to You. And it's a great witness to those around them. And we never want to lose sight of these great truths. So thank You for them, Lord. Thank You for telling us we're part of a much greater picture. And also thank You for telling us how much You have blessed us before we get to this passage. And Lord, may it sink in. May there be conviction for us to be that thankful. I think of, Lord, where You talked about that he who's been forgiven much loves much. And may we all grow in our appreciation for what You've done for us first, that it might make these things even easier to surrender to You even when we don't want to. So thank You for these things. Thank You for these truths. We ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.